with the latest from the world of technology. This is the Tech Guide Podcast with Stephen Fenwick.
Lots to talk about.
Tech Guide.
It's a very well-rounded product, combines great design, great technology, lots of excellent features.
Tech Guide.
This is why Samsung has seen a huge surge, why their profits are up.
Keeping you updated and educated. This is the Tech Guide Podcast.
This is not an ultrabook. If you're looking for something small, slim and lightweight, then you need to look elsewhere.
Tech Guide.
Probably one of the most impressive little devices I've seen in quite a while.
Now, from the studios of techguide.com.au, Stephen Fenwick.
Hello and welcome to Tech Guide episode 115, the podcast that keeps you updated and educated about the latest consumer technology. It's great to have your company once again. I'm Stephen Fenwick and I'm the editor of techguide.com.au. On this week's show, we're going to talk about the launch of the iPhone 6 and the iPhone 6 Plus. We also did a poll of all the customers lining up to buy the device, and we'll also tell you what the first person to buy the iPhones actually did with them. You're not going to believe it. In the Tech Guide reviews, we're going to give our verdict on the iPhone 6 and the 6 Plus and take you through the hidden features of the brand new iOS 8 operating system for iPhone and iPad. In the Tech Guide interview, we catch up with Elle Australia magazine editor-in-chief Justine Cullen and get her impressions on how the Apple Watch will be received by the fashion industry. And we'll finish it off as we always do with the Tech Guide help desk. Lots to get through, so let's get cracking. Well, it is an extraordinary day once a year when Apple launches a new iPhone. It's amazing scenes. If you're ever outside an Apple store on this particular day, and I was down in the George Street store here in Sydney, the Apple store, and there were lines of people being lining up to buy the phone for more than a week. And when the Friday launch day arrived, the line had extended. If you know Sydney, I'm talking downtown Sydney, so the Apple store's on George Street, which is one of the main streets of our CBD. The line went up King Street, which is just runs up beside the store, up the hill, turned left into York Street, all the way down York Street, and then down the right-hand down Market Street. So we're talking a line that was close to a kilometre long for people to buy the new iPhones. I think it was the biggest line I've seen for many years. I think possibly even the biggest line to buy these devices. Now, people say, why do people do that? Why do people line up to buy the iPhone? Why can't they just wait? Why do they need to be up there first? Well, for a lot of people, it's an experience that they enjoy waiting for it. They talk to other people, sort of like-minded people in the line. And it becomes something they talk about. A lot of people look upon that and see these people as maybe they see that as maybe being a little bit pathetic. There's a lot of people who, and I've seen this myself and heard this myself, where people are abused. People drive past in the car and yell out to these people lining up to buy the phone and tell them to get a life and really have abuse them. But look, each to their own if that's what you want to do. And it's a credit to Apple's pulling power, I suppose, is the power of their brand to get these people to actually do that. There's not many other brands can claim that kind of loyalty and passion from their customer. This year, I did, and I'll talk in the next segment about the poll that we did to gauge the interest in either product, whether it's the 6 or the 6 Plus. We'll talk about that in a moment. But I did observe, though, one thing, and this has also been observed in lines around the world, including the lines in the outside the New York stores. There was a very high number of Asian people lining up. And in particular, a lot of Chinese people. Now, though, this is just an observation. I'm not in any way being racist or anything. I'm just making a simple observation. I know for a fact that they were, because I did speak to the first 500 people in the line in Sydney, and I did watch an interesting movie that was created outside the Soho store in New York for lining up for the iPhone 6. And it was pretty much the same story there. A lot of Chinese people. In fact, the first person in the line in New York was an elderly Chinese woman, who, which is unusual for an iPhone line. But, you know, that's her right to be waiting there. And she bought her two iPhones. I think it was a two iPhone limit. And it was observed then handing those off to someone else. And obviously they were being sold or sent to China. Now, there is no iPhone 6 launch planned for China so far. And therefore, there's a lot of opportunities to sell the phones in China as well. So these people are just being these entrepreneurial people buying the phones and possibly selling them in China at obviously inflated prices. So there's where there's a demand, there has to be a supply. And in this case, the iPhone 6 and the iPhone 6 Plus were providing that in very large numbers. But overall, the launch, if you've never attended a launch, it's kind of goes like this. The Apple staff, about 10 minutes before the doors swing open, they start clapping and cheering and just getting people in the mood, getting themselves in the mood as well. They didn't do that this year for some reason, but what they normally do is a lot of the staff come out of the store and start high-fiving people all up the line. There are people in the line, obviously a couple of publicity stunts. I think Airtasker pretty heavily advertised the fact that they were in the line. People had posted tasks on the Airtasker website for people to wait in line for them. The average price paid to wait 24 hours in the line was about $165, around that price. But yeah, usually there's other people bringing coffee to people at the front of the line, a lot of clapping and cheering, and then we get to the countdown. When it gets close to 8 a.m., Apple usually launch the phone on a Friday, 8 o'clock in the morning, and then the countdown begins and the staff start go nuts. And then there's a media pack out the front as well. I've been a part of the media pack ever since they've been selling iPhones in Australia. I've been out the front of everyone. And there is TV cameras, photographers, international photographers, even Apple themselves filmed the store openings for their own purposes, you know, their videos for the keynotes and things like that. The countdown then, once the countdown finishes, the doors swing open and the first customers are let inside to buy the phone. I'll talk a bit later about who the first person was and what he did with it. You're not going to believe that. But we're going to talk next about the poll that we conducted. But if you want to read more about that whole experience and how, in fact, Australia became the very first country in the world to be able to buy the iPhone 6, New Zealand were put back a week for the launch. So Australia became the first country to get their hands on the iPhone 6. If you want to read more about that story and some other facts, you can do that at techguide.com.au.
Tech Guide. This is Tech Guide with Stephen Fenwick.
Now, as I mentioned at the top of the show, I did take the trouble to conduct a poll on what would be the more popular iPhone. Now, it's not every day that, or not every year, I should say, that Apple release two iPhones. Well, they did last year. They had two similar phones, the 5C, the 5S. Well, this year was a slightly different proposition. We're talking same phone, just in different sizes. So the iPhone 6, 4.7 inches, the iPhone 6 Plus, 5.5 inches. Now, I took it upon myself that we were going to interview the first 500 people in the line and gauge their interest. I made a little sheet which covered all of the iPhone models. So it had the iPhone 6, iPhone 6 Plus. It also had each color and each memory capacity. So I had two grids set up to ask people which device they were buying. So I asked them which iPhone, what color, and what memory capacity. Now, it took me a little while to do this, and as I mentioned in the previous segment, I did observe that nearly every person in that first 500, with the exception of, and I'm not exaggerating, with the exception of about 20 people, were all in these groups of Chinese buyers that were wanting to get the phone. So the results of asking all of those people, the first 500 people, were quite interesting. And it was quite obvious that the iPhone 6 Plus was the device of choice. In particular, the gold iPhone 6 Plus. In fact, the most popular device, according to my poll, and out of 500 people, 18% were their choice. Their first choice was the 64 gig iPhone 6 Plus in gold. Next up was the 128 gig iPhone 6 Plus in gold as well. That was choice two. That was 15% of those in line. And the gold 16 gig iPhone 6 Plus was the third most popular at 7%. So it was pretty obvious from the get-go that the bigger device was the more popular. And I actually predicted, I thought the 6 Plus would be sort of a limited number of people would want that big phone. It is quite a large phone, and we'll talk about that in my review coming up. But, geez, I got that wrong. The iPhone 6 Plus, in fact, sold out within an hour of, and this is the Apple store, the biggest store in Australia, sold out of iPhone 6 Pluses in 1 hour, less than 1 hour. Plenty of iPhone 6s around. I even took the trouble of walking up and down George Street. So I went to Optus, I went to Vodafone, I went to Telstra, and they were all telling the same story. iPhone 6 Plus sold out, still a fair bit of stock of the iPhone 6 left over. Even over the weekend, the Bondi store, same story, although they were telling people on Sunday, earlier this week, in the Bondi store, that there was a group of about, I think, 30, 40 people lined up first thing on Sunday morning. They were told that, yes, we'll have enough stock for all of you customers. And 3 hours later, so they were waiting for 3 hours before they were going to sell these to what they call walk-ins. So people, there was another line for people who had reserved a device. So the walk-ins were waiting 3 hours in the sun, and were then told after 3 hours that, no, they got it wrong, they're sold out, and to come back later. Some of those customers were called back later that afternoon. Others had to go back the next day. But it's just the demand for the 6 Plus was overwhelmingly more popular than the 6. So I'm not sure whether Apple predicted that and whether the shortages there are a result of that, or whether they knew that and were just sort of drip-feeding out their stock to make sure they could make it last. So not really sure how that worked. But without a doubt, it's bigger. Bigger is better for the Apple customers. Speaking of customers, we're going to talk next about the first buyer of the iPhone 6 and the iPhone 6 Plus and what they did with them. Now, as is traditional, when the iPhone goes on sale, now I described earlier what happens before the opening and the people cheering and then the countdown and then people are let in the store. What follows after all the excitement of the actual opening is filmed and photographed and everyone goes inside and the cheers subside, the next part of that process is then Apple presenting to the waiting media the first person to buy the new phones. It is traditional every year that they usher this person out, they hold up their devices, everyone photographs them, ask them their name, and that's how it goes. Now, this year was no exception. This year, the first person in line was a gentleman by the name of David Rahimi. Now, he'd come all the way from California to buy the very first device. Now, I took his name down. I even took his photograph. And if you look on Tech Guide, you'll see my story with the headline, Australia, the first country to buy the new iPhones in the world. You'll see my photograph in that story is of this gentleman, David Rahimi. So he was, he said, yeah, he's from California, and everyone took his photo. He had the phones held up above his head, and I thought nothing more of it until I look online that night and see his familiar face on a video. Now, David Rahimi, it turns out, has a YouTube channel called Phone Buff. Now, he said, as I said, he's from California, and he came all the way to Australia knowing Australia was the first place in the world where the iPhones will go on sale. Now, David Rahimi, in his YouTube channel, on his Phone Buff YouTube channel, does what they call drop tests. In other words, he drops the phones to see if they break. So he waited days in line to be the first to buy supposedly the first to buy the iPhones here in Australia, only to less than an hour later drop tests. And if you look at, and I've linked his video on my story on Tech Guide, you'll see if you watch his video, it was shot opposite Hyde Park near the Aquatic Centre, just up from St Mary's Cathedral. So it's a cobblestone ground, and he drops the phones on its back, on its screen, on its side. And I won't spoil the result, but you can take a look at his video that I've embedded on my story on Tech Guide. The headline is "Man Who Was First to Buy New iPhones Smashed Them for Video Blog." But well, I want you to see the results of that. I just thought it was interesting to see that. Hang on, I saw the video. I thought, I know that guy. Where do I know him from? He was the first person to buy the iPhones. So I'm not sure if Apple were happy presenting the first iPhone buyer to the press, and then an hour later, this same person dropping them to the ground to see if they break. But anyway, you can judge for yourself whether that was a good idea or not at my story at techguide.com.au.
Keeping you updated and educated. This is Tech Guide with Stephen Finney.
Tech Guide.
The Tech Guide podcast is proudly sponsored by Netgear, Australia's number one Wi-Fi brand. And they've just released the Netgear Nighthawk X6 tri-band Wi-Fi router. In fact, it's the world's first tri-band router, and it's from Netgear. Just think just for a moment about the number of wireless devices you have in your home. You count them. Is it 5? Is it 10? Maybe even 20. If you're anything like me, way more than 20. Well, if you find that your devices aren't performing as fast as they should whether they're wirelessly streaming or gaming or updating, it could be that your wireless traffic is congested and fighting each other for network bandwidth. Well, the latest router from Netgear eliminates this problem no matter how many people and devices are using your network. The Nighthawk X6 is here and it's incredible. The X6 delivers a massive combined wireless speed of up to 3.2 gigabits per second. There's never been Wi-Fi like it. Even if everyone and everything in your home is streaming, gaming, working, playing, socializing, or updating all at the same time, the X6 won't miss a beat. So if you're looking for the ultimate in speed, range, and advanced features for your home network, then you better upgrade to the Netgear Nighthawk X6 and get ready for the extreme. Check out the Nighthawk at netgear.com.au/Nighthawk X6.
Tech Guide.
Now, a Tech Guide review with Stephen Fennick. Tech Guide.
Well, our review, we've been talking about all show about the new iPhone 6 and the iPhone 6 Plus. Well, it's time to tell you whether they're any good. And the short answer is, yes, they are. The iPhone 6 and the iPhone 6 Plus, easily the best phones Apple have ever created. Much thinner, much lighter, and round. They got rounded edges and looking really slick. The screen actually curves downwards at the edges and forms like a seamless connection with the rounded unibody as well. The design is something to really admire. They've done a great job. Typical high build quality from Apple with the new iPhone 6 and the iPhone 6 Plus. Very thin on the design side, so thin. You get them in your hand, and they wow. A lot of people when I showed them, the first thing they do is say, "Whoa!" They're really impressed by how thin they are. We're talking 6.9 millimeters for the iPhone 6 and 7.1 millimeters for the larger iPhone 6 Plus. Now, apart from the design, of course, are the larger screens. And finally, Apple delivering larger screen sizes. And to my surprise, the larger of the two, the 5.5-inch iPhone 6 Plus, seems to be the more popular choice. The iPhone 6, which is at 4.7 inches, puts it in the same group as, say, the Samsung Galaxy S5, HTC One M8. So in that kind of category. Previously, the iPhone was only 4 inches, so it was a lot smaller than its competitor devices. Well, now the iPhone 6 is now playing in that larger screen space. The 5.5-inch device, the iPhone 6 Plus, more sort of the same size as the Samsung Galaxy Note 3. The Galaxy Note 4 will be released in the next week or so. And also the same size as the HTC Desire 816, the LG G3, all of these devices which I've reviewed on Tech Guide. These are are larger niche products, and I've written a blog this week about whether Apple have actually made the phablet, the phone slash tablet, whether they've made the phablet actually a fashionable product, because other companies haven't been able to crack those larger sale, that those massive sales that are normally reserved for their 5-inch smaller device. So really interesting observation there. Now, just how big are these devices? A lot of people ask me, first question is the 5S, is the 6 Plus too big? 5.5-inch screen, is it too big? Well, that really depends on the user. I'm more a fan of the larger screen. So the 5.5-inch was the one I straight away wanted, and that's the one I've been using. I've used the 6 as well. Both kind of have the same features, same processor. The only major difference is the screen size. The iPhone 6 Plus has a better, slightly better camera, which I'll get to in a moment. But the displays themselves are Retina HD quality, so a higher screen density on the iPhone 6 Plus. iPhone 6 Plus actually got a full HD resolution. That's 1920 by 1080. The iPhone 6 is 1334 by 750, still in the HD bracket. But it has the same pixel density, 326 ppi pixels per inch, as the iPhone 5S. The 6 Plus has a pixel density of 401 ppi. But I think the biggest decision people need to make here is which phone is best for them. If you don't mind a larger phone, if you've got a pocket to put it in, if you've got a bag to carry it in, you don't mind handling such a large device, or don't mind being seen raising this large device to your head to make a call, then the 6 Plus would be the device for you. The 6 there, though, is not as big a jump from the 5S. A natural progression for someone who doesn't want something too big but just wants the new iPhone, the 6 will fit the bill, especially even if you're coming from an iPhone 4, iPhone 4S, which had a 3.5-inch screen, so they're not going to know themselves, even on the iPhone 6, how big that screen is. In terms of that processor I mentioned, it does really speed things along. It does have larger displays to power as well, so it's not just all about speed. It's all about giving you smooth playback, smooth performance with your screens as well. Now, onto the camera. Now, we all know the iPhone camera is quite good to begin with. Well, the iPhone 6 has really taken it to the next level. And they've stuck to 8 megapixel, though, which has surprised a few people. They haven't decided to just go higher to 13 or 16 megapixel resolution. They've decided to stick with 8, which their argument is that 8 is enough for the megapixel, the resolution. But what they've done is improve the sensor. They've done things like improving the focus. So they've got a new feature called Focus Pixels, which makes focusing in the foreground and the background, even when you change quickly, really fast. So it keeps your videos and pictures really sharp, especially in the video when you're switching your focus there. Works really well. The sensor lets a bit more light into the camera, and it's really good in low light situations. The front-facing camera is also HD quality, and it's got face detection. So your selfies are never going to look better. Also on board is iOS 8, which we're going to talk about next. But on the connectivity side, you've got 802.11ac finally, which has been seen with other devices. Apple not the first in this area. You've also got 4G compatibility, even including compatibility with the new 700 megahertz spectrum as well. What other thing Apple's going to introduce with the iPhone in iPhone 6 later, probably next year in Australia, is Apple Pay, and that uses NFC, that's near field communication on board. Again, not a first for Apple, but it is going to give that whole ecosystem a lot of visibility. So it's going to really make people pay more attention that's actually a possibility, and therefore hopefully bring a lot more people to use it. So turning your iPhone into a mobile wallet. Now, one of the biggest questions, one of the most popular questions people ask is battery life. How good is the battery? Well, there's some excellent news here for you listeners. The battery on the iPhone 6 Plus, having a bigger device means obviously a bigger battery. So battery performance is vastly improved. I got 2 full days of battery life out of a single charge. iPhone 6, which still has a bigger battery than the iPhone 5S, that was about a day and a half. But both batteries improved from the 5S. Now, things we didn't like, it wasn't a total love fest. There were things we didn't like. A lot of people were one of the features they loved about the new Samsung Galaxy S5, for example, the Sony Xperia phones, is the fact they're waterproof. Not so with the iPhone. So don't go spilling any drinks on them. You'll have to buy a new device or repair it. So you can't afford to be clumsy, mumsy with these devices. Another thing too, the bottom speaker wasn't highest quality. There are some other devices with front facing speakers, I think namely the HTC One M8, which has really good output in terms of for music playback, and these were that's superior to the iPhone, I feel. The other thing too is that they can be a little expensive if you're going for the higher memory capacities. Now there's a new 128 gig version, and Apple of course don't have a micro SD card slot to expand the memory. You've got to take what they give you. So if you want a lot of memory, you've got to buy it off Apple. You can't just expand it yourself with a micro SD card slot. Apple never have, and I think never will, put a micro SD card slot on their devices. They just don't want to spoil the design. They don't want to introduce outside factors to the experience. It's very much a Apple software running Apple hardware and vice versa. So they don't want to compromise that with a micro SD card slot. And therefore, that's why you're paying at the top end of the iPhone 6 Plus $1,249 for the 128 gig model. The iPhone 6, you're going to pay $1,129 for the 128 gig model there. So pretty high, but if you can't afford that outright, the best option there is a plan. Our full review is at techguide.com.au, and there's also a video review, quite a detailed video review of myself taking you through the features of the iPhone 6 and the iPhone 6 Plus, so you can read that, you can see that, I should say, on our story at Tech Guide as well. So if you want to read all them, www.techguide.com.au. Okay, iOS 8, which is a feature of the new iPhones, was released as a free update for anyone who's running an iPhone 4S, an iPad 2, and later. So if you're not interested in buying the new iPhones, you can give your current iPhone a new lease of life, or give it a new phone feel with this update. Now, there's several new features with the iOS 8, including QuickType, which is a predictive text feature. It's also got Health, the Health app, which lets you gather all of your health information from your activity bands and other devices all in one place. They're the main ones. But what I thought I'd talk about really quickly in this segment are some of the hidden features of iOS 8. And there are a few. One of them is being able to see how much battery power your apps are using. Simply go into the settings, general, usage, and then battery usage. That'll bring you to a list of all your apps and features with a percentage next to them, so you can see just how much each of them is impacting your battery. Another thing too, Siri can now identify songs. Remember the Shazam app? Well, that's now been built into Siri. So this service is powered by Shazam. So you simply ask Siri, "Hey Siri, what is this song? What is this song playing? The name of this song?" And it'll go out and find the name of the song for you. The weather app's also been improved. It's got more information like sunrise, sunset, which were there before, but they've been repositioned. But it also gives you things like chance of rain, humidity level, even the UV index. You want to use a new credit card? You don't have to type in the numbers. Take a photo of it, and you can. That iOS 8 will scan that into your device. With the photo side, you can actually hide photos. So rather than you don't want photos to appear in your camera albums, you can actually hide them. So they're in a folder called hidden photos. Funny enough, you can also recover deleted photos. So now, previously, you delete a photo and it's gone forever. Well, now you can. These are put into a recovery folder, and that stays for about 30 days, or you can go in and just delete it again and it's gone straight away, or you can go in and restore it. So you might have deleted a photo by mistake. Not to worry, you can go into the recovery folder and then put them back in your album. One other thing you can do too when you're taking your photographs is control the exposure. So there is an exposure control. So you just touch on your focus. So you get your focus right. And then if you slide your finger up and down the screen, that will control the exposure so to make your photos lighter or darker. One last thing before we finish off, a hidden feature. Find My Phone is a very popular one for people who want to look for their device if they happen to misplace it. But what happens when the battery runs out and you haven't actually located it yet? Well, then your chances of finding it are very slim. What it does now, it actually sends its last location before the battery dies. So if you click that on in the settings, before it reaches its critical battery level, it will actually send its last location before the battery dies. So some handy features there. iOS 8, free download for your iPhone 4S and above, iPad 2 and above, and for the iPod Touch 5th generation. So if you want to read those, all 10 of those hidden features, you can do that at techguide.com.au.
Tech Guide. Now, a Tech Guide interview.
Tech Guide.
Our Tech Guide interview is with Justine Cullen. She's the Editor-in-Chief of Elle Magazine Australia. Now, I met Justine. She was one of the journalists who travelled over to California with Apple as part of our group. And I got to know her. It was interesting the fact that she was on the trip. I thought that was the strongest indication that Apple were going to actually release a wearable device, and we were right. Having Justine there, it was interesting to get her take on the Apple Watch, because I think what Apple's trying to do, and I think they're going to succeed with the Apple Watch, is not only crack the tech side of things, the tech market, but they also want to crack the style and fashion market, because they're the other side of the market that buy watches as well. We're talking wearable devices, so it's a fashion accessory, so to speak. But I thought it'd be interesting to get Justine's thoughts on how the Apple Watch is going to be received by the fashion industry. And here's what she had to say.
Hi, Justine. Thanks for joining me. We were together in San Jose. We've always got San Jose.
We will always have that.
We were there for the iPhone 6 and iPhone 6 Plus launch, and also, of course, the Apple Watch launch. Now, you being the editor of Elle Magazine in Australia, I was very keen to hear your thoughts on who the watch is going to appeal to.
Yeah, well, I mean, I was very curious about that too going into it. And I think we all knew that when they started inviting fashion people to an Apple launch for the first time, that it would have a fashion angle. And I think, you know, that was a really interesting thing for us to go into it thinking, okay, wearables, the fashion industry is kind of interested in them because obviously, you know, they're something that you wear, but would we actually wear them? I think that Apple has made them wearable. From a fashion industry point of view, obviously they've been poaching and hiring from the fashion industry for a while now. They've had some key appointments, you know, from Burberry, from YSL,
and Mark Newson, Australian connection.
Yeah, who, you know, obviously just brings beauty to everything he touches. Mm-hmm. You know, that's really exciting, and you can see that their involvement is there, you know. It's a beautiful piece. I think it's really clever that they've got them to appeal to so many different people, and as we were saying on the day, you know, no watch will really be the same.
That's right, that's a good point, actually. So, like, I'm sure you've heard of smartwatches before, but up until now, had you ever considered them to be anything other than a tech product?
No, like, you know, I saw them as mostly being something that I guess a guy would wear, you know. It was a masculine thing, maybe a sport-driven thing. But I guess the usefulness and the beauty mixed together in this piece makes it something that I think women will wear. And it's very clever.
Okay, did you actually get your hands on one and try it?
I did.
What were your impressions?
Yeah, look, I think it's I really liked that you can get it in the small or the large, you know, so it'll suit different hands. And that's a really big deal, you know. Obviously, those little differences... they make it. But yeah, I thought it looked beautiful. It felt gorgeous. I'm really interested to see how they sell it, what the retail moment is around selling it, because it's obviously going to be a big purchase
sure.
for a lot
well, it's
of
obvious,
people.
You being at the launch, it's obvious what their strategy is. They want to try to get not just us tech heads.
Yeah.
They want to get people like yourself who influences in the fashion
yeah.
and beauty industry.
And that's where I think the pricing will be interesting, because, like, you know, they need to price it high enough that there's still one, and I'm talking about the edition here, the gold one
yes.
that the fashion industry is talking about. They need to price it so that it's really desirable, and I guess they don't, you know, not necessarily want it to be on everybody's wrist, because that's not what the fashion industry likes.
Absolutely. Well, but what impressed me, though, is that they've made three different models. So there's the Apple Watch, the Watch Sport, and the Watch Edition, which we mentioned already. So I think just from that standpoint, they're giving people plenty of choice, mm-hmm. because I think Tim Cook made the point, being a wearable product, you don't want to be wearing the same product as everyone else. It's all about your identity and what you, how you want to make it look.
Yeah, exactly. You know, we're looking forward to getting one at the magazine to be able to style it up and show it maybe with a whole lot of bracelets and work out how we would wear it and how our reader would wear it in a different way. And that's obviously going to be very different to how you would wear it lots of other people. So, you know, I think that in terms of it being a fashion piece, they couldn't have done a better job. Yeah, I think visually it's very classic. It's really beautiful.
Mm-hmm, yeah, I was going to say the design is typical Apple, really high quality and with the precision and beauty of a piece of jewellery, isn't it? It's just so well made. Was that what you thought as well?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, and that, the gold is a really beautiful 18-karat gold. It's a beautiful colour.
That's a word Apple uses a lot. Did you notice that? Beautiful.
Beautiful.
And we've got to agree, I suppose. Yeah. You got to agree with that, though. But so do you think Apple now, well, the watch isn't out yet, but can you foresee that they've cracked the fashion world as well as the tech world now?
Yeah. I definitely think that this is going to be a really successful launch from a fashion point of view.
Yeah.
I think it's just something that everybody's going to want, and everybody will be able to wear it in their own way, and that's the secret to the success, I think.
Absolutely. Well, speaking of wearing it in your own way, what would be your choice? Which one would you get? What size? What band? Have you thought of this? I'm sure you have.
I have. For me, it would be the big size face.
42? Really?
In the edition.
Give me a look at your wrist. You got a tiny wrist. You're going to wear the 42.
You've got to make a statement.
Yeah.
The gold edition with the white strap.
Right.
That's the one.
I can see that on your wrist. That will look beautiful.
Yeah, you know, with a bunch of little bracelets and friendship bands. That's
fair
how to
enough.
Do it.
Now, I'm more the Apple Watch, sort of the polished silver with the mesh band.
And with this, I'm going to interview the interviewee, but does this replace a watch for you?
Yes,
you
it would.
Yeah.
Like, and I wear, as you can tell, the brand of my watch there. Tell our listeners what my brand is.
The Longines.
I'm a Longines, so I wear a nice watch anyway.
Yeah.
And I would seriously consider wearing the watch as much as I would wear the Apple Watch as much as I wear my Longines.
Right.
So
it's interesting. I think that will be interesting. How do you wear it? Do you consider it an investment like a watch, or is it an alternative? You know, it's an interesting people wear
that
too.
Is a good point. Yeah, well, you could probably answer this question better than anyone else. Like, people do buy more than one watch to wear various times of the day with various outfits.
Yeah.
So can you see this becoming something that people work into their existing collection of watches?
I think there are times when you would wear it, and obviously from a female point of view, there are times you would wear it, and there are times that you're going to want to put on a beautiful Rolex or or just not have one. So, I think it's something that you'd have in your watch wardrobe. I think it's an accessory.
But it's also functional fashion too, you've got to remember, so you can look fashionable on your run.
I know, and I don't think function and fashion have never come together quite in this way before.
Yeah.
So they've really broken down a barrier there.
Absolutely. Well, we look forward to when the watch is out in early 2015. I'm sure we're looking forward to the spread in Elle Australia magazine. I'm sure you'll be adorning one on your wrist as well.
Keep an eye out, and I'm just very much looking forward to when Apple make nice, comfortable flat shoes.
Oh, okay. Maybe that's what they're working on next. But Justine, really appreciate you talking to Tech Guy today.
Thank you.
Tech Guy. Now, answering all your tech questions, the Tech Guy Help Desk.
Okay, the Tech Guide Help Desk. Two quick things we're going to talk about. One reader emailed me or sent through a message on the Tech Guide forum and asked, is there a cooling off period for ISPs, Internet Service Providers? Now, you sign up in good faith thinking that the service is going to be fast and reliable. What do you do if that service doesn't meet your expectations? Well, you, according to what I've read on the internet, and I have posted something on the forum about this, you do have a cooling off period. It could be up to 30 days where the ISP, if you tell them it doesn't meet your expectations, it doesn't meet your requirements, it's no better than what you had earlier, then there is a way for you to get out of that contract. The reader in particular asked me the question saying that they still had their other connection, the other one didn't work out, they want to go back to their original connection and cancel the new contract. Well, you got to remember, you start a new contract and you don't get that service until that contract is signed and approved. So if your service doesn't meet those expectations, doesn't suit your needs, then there has to be a period of grace where you can actually tell the ISP, no, it's not for me, and you can get out of it. A lot of ISPs advertise that up front. A lot of telcos do that as well. Vodafone has a similar thing for their network. So, yes, you can get out of that if it doesn't meet your needs. Now, secondly, the other question I had was from a gentleman who's saying he paired his iPhone to his Toyota Yaris. He could make and receive calls fine, but couldn't get his contacts over there. So what I suggested he do is go into the settings and look for the list of products that are connected via Bluetooth to his device, and there should be a list of all the connected devices. I said to look for the name of the car, to click on the little information symbol to the right of that, and there should be a selection in that screen to sync contacts. So once that's selected, that should also bring his contacts into his car as well. Those tips and others, you can find them at the Tech Guide forum, or if you want a question and it could be answered right here on the Tech Guide help desk, you can send us your question at info@techguide.com.au. And that's our show for this week. Everything we've spoken about can be seen at my website, techguide.com.au. And we love it when you get in touch with us. That email address again, info@techguide.com.au, or you can come through the forum. Special thanks to our sponsors, Netgear, the brand you can trust for all your Wi-Fi needs. If you want to stay connected, the answer is Netgear. Thanks for listening. It's been great having you with us once again. We look forward to you joining us again next week. So until then, stay safe and stay connected.